You know, I offered at the early service if Pastor Freeze wanted to preach the sermon today, but, you know, he said that he's good, right?
Next week.
Yeah. No, not next week. How about next week, too? You're good. Well, happy Father's Day. Did you all like that reading? Isn't that a perfect Father's Day reading? Why does it feel like we always get this reading on Father's Day? I know it's not possible that's always true, but really, could there be a worse reading for this day? I have come to set a man against his father. The Gospel of the Lord. For those of you not in the know, by the way, I do need you to know one thing. I don't pick the readings, right? Like, that's not me. We follow the same three-year cycle along with a majority of Christians all over the world. We actually follow a three-year cycle, and this is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, year A, right? That's Matthew's year, yep. And so here we are with the assigned gospel for today. And not only is this less than ideal for Father's Day, but do you also know what Tuesday is? What's Tuesday?
Election Day.
Sort of Election Day. It's primary day, but here in Baltimore, that becomes Election Day, right? It's quite clear that this would make a horrible campaign speech, don't you think? Come and follow me. Risk it all. You might well be hated by even your closest family. You might even lose your very life when you take up your cross and follow me. Vote Jesus. No, it doesn't work. If it was a good campaign speech, it would be full of bold promises. Bold promises that, by the way, we would accomplish in the first 100 days. Painting a picture of what life would be like if only we would all take up our cross and follow Jesus. Actually, there's a song we sometimes sing in the contemporary worship service. We would never sing it in this worship service, so don't worry. But it goes, we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. We were made to thrive. And my husband, whom I dearly love, hates this song, and he hates it so much because he thinks it's bad theology, because as we have heard today, we are not always called to thrive. We are sometimes called to die. And so he sings this song, "We Were Made to Die." We can at least say this for what Jesus says to us today. Jesus does not paint some rosy picture that can never be attained. Jesus is quite forthright. There are no rose-colored glasses. He acknowledges the real cost of following him. I'm sorry, it is really hard, I know. Yes, you should cry about that, yeah. Following the way of the cross is hard. Laying down one's life for the good of the neighbor. In this wild pep talk that began last week from Jesus, he acknowledges a reality that if we look closely enough, we all know to be true. That if you dedicate your life to fighting life-threatening diseases around the world, you might end up dying from a life-threatening disease. If you insist on holy hospitality for anyone who wants to enter your church, you might find that one day one of them will come wielding a gun. If you try to help, even in small ways, every person caught up in addiction, one of them might at some point get angry and hurt you. If you teach, not even at a tough school, but anywhere it seems, you know there is a risk, even with all the precautions, that someone will do violence But what is the alternative? To make yourself as comfortable as possible, to insulate yourself as far as you can from all possible danger, even if that were possible, which, by the way, it is not, it would not be the way of the cross. It would not be the way of integrity. So 165 years ago, if you do your math in your head, that will take you to the beginning of the Civil War, right? Towards the beginning of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln received a visitor. And the visitor greeted him and pronounced to him that he was praying every day that God would be on our side. And President Lincoln responded, knowing, of course, that certainly the other side was praying the same prayer. He said, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right." To do what is right always comes with a cost. For God's love and grace is radical. It upsets the status quo. It demands everything from us and picks us up when we inevitably fall short. But that does not mean that our life is not being demanded of us. So on this strange Father's Day, on the fourth Sunday in Pentecost, what does it mean to be a good father? It certainly does not mean being the strongest, or the wealthiest, or the safest. It does not even mean pouring everything you have out for your children so they have the best of everything. It means to do what is right, always, no matter what. And not just for the sake of your own children, but for your neighborhood, and for your country, and for the poorest of the poor, and the sickest of the sick. To be an example, not only to your own children, but to the generations. It means, in short, having integrity. In fact, that is also what it looks like to be a good parent, a good leader, a good human. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this: that once you try to do what is right and you face the consequences of that, that though people may attack your pride, your wealth, your own body, they cannot touch your soul. Did you hear what Jesus said? Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. And that when you try to do what is right and fall short because occasionally you simply are just too scared or too exhausted, or you simply make a bad choice, God will pick you back up to try again. And when you have fought the good fight and breathed your last, we receive the gift that because we have died with Christ, we rise with Christ. As we will read tomorrow, at Debbie's funeral. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So yes, do the impossible, fathers and mothers, good humans, live like Jesus, die with Jesus. Rise In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.